I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room.
I don't want to talk about my injuries. I'm sticking to that.
A left shoulder injury proved too much for world number one men's tennis player Novak Djokovic at the US Open.
Yeah, it is frustrating. Very frustrating. I'm obviously not the first nor the last player to get injured and to, you know, withdraw from one of the biggest events in sport.
Stan Wawrinka of Switzerland led the fourth round match 6-4, 7-5, 2-1 when the defending champion decided he had enough, as he still has his long-range sights on the Olympics.
Evaluation is to come. Obviously, I did a lot of different treatments and diagnostics and everything in the last, you know, couple weeks, but I'm obviously going to have to do it again and see how the shoulder reacts, you know, to the rest. Obviously not playing is going to help speed up recovery. I'm planning to play Tokyo, and hopefully I'll be able to do so.
Djokovic looks at the setback as a temporary one.
It's a long road ahead, hopefully, for me. You know, I hope I can play for many more years, and I'm planning to. I mean, I don't see an end behind the corner at all, you know, so now it's a matter of keeping my body and mind in shape, you know, and trying to still to peak at these kind of events that are majors and that are the most significant in our sport.
His departure gave Wawrinka a coveted win over the top-ranked player in the world.
Yeah, it was its own surprise for sure, because a new player, a champion like him, I've been many times there in the past, so you always expect to play against the best of Novak, and I saw he wasn't feeling great, but again, it was a surprise for sure.
Wawrinka's run would end against young Russian Daniil Medvedev, 7-6, 6-3, 3-6, 6-1, to reach his first semifinal at a major tournament.
I am surprised. That's what I've been working for all my life, and especially the last 2.5 years. That's where I've been going step by step. I was improving my rankings, but I'm still really surprised with the way this last 4 weeks have been going.
The 23-year-old Medvedev is the youngest man to reach the U.S. Open semifinal since Novak Djokovic in 2010, and the first Russian to get that far since Mikhail Yuzhny that same year. Medvedev is up to number 4 in the world rankings, but his goal right now is more immediate.
For me, I would say my first goal is to win every match I play. As I said earlier, I think 4 matches out of 5 here, I could have lost, maybe I should have lost some of them. I managed to win them because I take it match by match, and I'm focusing on, okay, how can I beat my opponent today, and that's how I take it.
The king of clay, Spaniard Rafael Nadal, is having a great run on the U.S. Open hard courts, reaching his 40th major tournament quarterfinal with his 61st career U.S. Open match victory. It's the New York fans that inspire him.
So special to see this amazing crowd supporting a great connection with the crowd here in New York. They are very energetic, very passionate, and I consider myself like this, especially on court.
He even had golf great Tiger Woods cheering him on.
It means a lot to me to have him supporting. He's an amazing inspiration, all the things that he accomplished on the sport, and the way that he managed to keep fighting that hard. Watching him on court always have been an example. On the golf course, have been an example and a real inspiration for me.
We've almost come to take for granted the apparent ease at which Roger Federer of Switzerland takes apart his U.S. Open opponents year after year.
Yeah, I mean, look, sometimes they just, these scores just happen. You catch a good day, the opponent doesn't, and then things happen very quickly. You know, maybe struggled a bit early on, but found my groove after a while and was able to roll, really. Never looked back.
Federer thrashed David Goffin 6-2, 6-2, 6-love to reach another career milestone.
It's definitely very special to be playing for these records. You know, being in my 56th quarters now of a slam, it's definitely a nice feeling. That was obviously the initial goal here at this tournament, trying to make it so far. So yeah, I think I use it at the right times for motivation, I guess.
Federer's run came to an abrupt halt as Grigor Dimitrov moved a step from the final with a 3-6-6-4, 3-6-6-4, 6-2 triumph, his first over Federer in their 8 meetings.
Well, everything was different. I mean, different circumstances, different court, different time of the tournament. I mean, I can see so many things that are different. I was more present, to be honest. I was more of myself throughout every point, every game that I played.
As American Serena Williams closes in on the U.S. Open women's final, she had a scare.
Ankle, I don't know. I usually know if it's horrible early on. I had a really bad ankle sprain in January, so I was like, instantly, I'm like, no, this can't happen. I'm finally healthy. So far, I'm good.
Williams rolled her ankle during her round of 16 win over Petra Martic of Croatia before cruising past Wang Xiang of China in the quarterfinal round. Williams is seeking to match the 24 Grand Slam singles titles of all-time leader Margaret Court, the Australian whose major titles came between 1960 and 1973. But for Serena, she doesn't put herself on that level.
I would be pontificating to a level I wouldn't even know to say I'm a superstar. So honestly, I'm just Serena. I don't try to be anybody else. I don't try to be famous. I don't try to be anything. And I think when people meet me and they see me, they're, I think, almost shocked at how low-key and how average I am.
French Open champion Ash Barty of Australia was the women's second seed. While her singles run ended, she has a second chance, a doubles chance.
Oh, it's been incredible. It's a tough day at the office today, but it's been a year where we've hit our goals. Obviously, I would have loved to have kept going here in singles, but we've got an opportunity to do that in doubles. And knowing what it was like last year to be able to lift the trophy in doubles was really cool. And to be able to have another opportunity to do that now, still being able to play in doubles, is a bonus.
The top seed and defending U.S. Open women's champion is also out. Naomi Osaka of Japan fell to Belinda Bencic of Switzerland. The 7-5-6-4 win put Bencic in her first major quarterfinal.
Before the match, I didn't think it was different. After the match, it definitely felt different. So I just came with the same mentality like I played her before and just really focused on the game and not about the hype or the occasion, the stadium and the round. After a match, it feels definitely different. It feels like this was the most important one.
Bencic is only 22, but she's been on the court for some time.
People always think I'm a little bit older than I actually am because I've been here since 16, 17, so I think definitely, you know, it was a good time. I learned so many things. I think it was, you know, everyone expected to go just up, but that's not how tennis goes. I think all true athletes have to overcome obstacles, injuries, just tough times. So I think it made me a stronger person, better player.
It hasn't really sunk in yet.
A common feeling when winning a title for the first time. Swedish golfer Sebastian Soderberg captured the European Masters Tournament in Switzerland. His first win came on the first hole of a 5-man playoff that included Rory McIlroy of Northern Ireland.
I think I was more nervous in the beginning than I was towards the back nine, and it just got on a good run, and just the ball kept going in, and playing with Rory, it's a different kind of so many people, and just playing with a guy like that just kind of adds heat to it right away. And you know, I didn't really think about being up high on the leaderboard. I was just trying to do my whole thing the whole day.
McIlroy had his chances as he charged through the final round to match the 14 under par total needed to be in the playoff.
It's too many mistakes. I think I made like 13 bogeys during the week. I made enough birdies, but I didn't quite have it over the weekend. I obviously made a great run there on the back nine today.
In the end, fatigue became an issue.
It is my 7th event in 8 weeks. I've played a lot of golf. Yeah. And I think just playing that much, you know, sometimes those little mental errors creep in. You know, the sloppy finish yesterday, you know, probably cost me. But, you know, I fought back today and did my best.
McIlroy was still pleased.
You know, it's been another solid week coming back across the Atlantic, and looking forward to a couple weeks off.
A trophy and prize money were not all that Soderberg won.
I think I proved to myself that I can play out here, and, you know, I didn't really know I was ready to win. You know, I was just trying to I had a terrible start to the season, and you know, I've just kind of felt like I've been trying to make my way into the top 110 to keep my course for next year, and this is just surreal way to do it.
And the winner for longevity has to go to Spaniard Miguel Angel Jimenez, who was just 5 shots back while playing his 30th European Masters tournament.
About this place, I love everything, you know. It's, you know, you say 30 times, only miss one time, and in my 31 years in the career here. And that was 2015 when they moving at the same week as the British and European, and had the compromise to play that one. But not to me, everything here, and I got friends, and the style of life here, and the people, the atmosphere, the golf course is very nice. It's improving year per year, you know. It's a lot of things where I like to come here.
First victory in tour is always going to stand out more than any other event that you've ever played.
And what a first European Tour win for English golfer Richard McAvoy at the European Open last year, who had never finished better than third in an event and had gone to qualifying school 12 times during his 17-year professional career.
285th time of asking. Yeah, finally got my first win on tour. It was an incredible week. As you can see, it makes me very happy coming back here.
McAvoy had won a lower-tier event the week before on the Challenge Tour.
Golf's a very, very much a game of confidence. You get your ups and downs, and I was very much going through my ups at the time. Having won the week before in France, my confidence was very, very high. My self-belief was very, very high, and that's all the difference was, really.
McAvoy was resigned to continuing his golf career below the main European Tour.
I'd made the decision that if things didn't go that well this week here, in 2018, I was going to be straight back out on Challenge Tour the following few weeks. So, it was a pretty incredible swing around.
That amazing turn and his return this week as defending champion came from belief in himself and perseverance.
You know, I've just grinded away for 18, 19 years and always had belief that I could do it and finally did, yeah.
Despite never having played the course either in competition or in practice, England's Ross Fisher emerged the 2008 European Open winner.
Went out first, I totally blind, never seen the course before, but my caddy Adam had walked it, so he basically pointed me in the right direction and went round in 63 blows, new course record, and kicked on from there and ended up winning by 7 strokes.
It's been 11 years, and now on a different course, could his history repeat?
I've never played here, so phenomenal golf course, very, very long. Reminds me a little bit of Brohof in Sweden, you know, very, very long. Course is in fantastic condition.
With the USPGA Tour regular season over, American Matt Kuchar has made the trip to Germany.
Getting to see different places, different cultures, different experiences. You know, for me, different golf, but for the family experience as well, it's a lot of fun.
While many consider the USPGA Tour the top level of professional golf, Kuchar doesn't necessarily agree.
There's great golfers everywhere. It's one of the tough things about the job as a professional golfer. You're trying to be the best of the best, and there's just it's a world full of guys trying to take my job, and there's great competition everywhere. It's fun to see all the different players, all different skill sets, and I always enjoy coming over.
And with Porsche as the European Open sponsor host, Kuchar and the other golfers have some extra perks.
A lot of fun extra activities, going to the racetrack, going to do some extra things, and just the ride back and forth from the hotel to the course is a enjoyable ride.
This signals not, in fact, the arrival of the new Supreme Pontiff, but the beginning of the CHAP Olympiad 2019.
The Tokyo Olympics are still many months away, but the recent 2019 CHAPS Olympiad marked one of Britain's most eccentric sporting events, rewarding participants for skills they naturally possess rather than any form of sporting ability.
It's basically a celebration of sporting ineptitude. So it's all about, I mean, when we started, England was doing really badly in international sports. I know they're doing quite well now, but then there was nothing. We were failing at everything. So we thought, why not create a series of events that actually celebrates the buffoonery and the ineptitude of the British sportsmen.
The crazy sports included tea pursuit, cucumber sandwich discus, umbrella jousting, tug of hair, picnic vaulting, and hobby horse freestyle dressage.
the British at their best, I think, you know, and it's to be able to be light-hearted and not take things too seriously, and that's what I like about it. That's what draws me to it as well.
The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.